I don't know how to pray short. That's why I'm not on the prayer corner. I was like, wait, wrap this up.
Hi, y'all.
Hey.
We're kind of back.
Back-ish.
Yes. So we got so much great feedback from the last episode, episode 7, love. It has been so fun to share with you guys what God has said about love and sex and marriage.
Yes. And we did not want to leave our single community out, especially because that's where we are too. So we got to holler at our people.
Exactly. And we know that although we love to hear about all that love and marriage stuff, we got our own problems that we're dealing with right now.
Today. So this is our very first snippet. Just hit me all with a little musical term where it's a, if you're not familiar with the snippets from the 90s, where you would buy one CD single and get a snippet of a couple of songs from an album, you're basically just getting a short, couple minutes, quick conversation, and we just hope that this encourages you.
So sit back, relax, and listen to part two, really.
Yes, our conversation on purity. See you guys next week. Even with reading all of that stuff, it's exciting, it's encouraging, but we're in a place where we are still single right now.
Ooh.
And what we did not want to do was read you all these scriptures and then send you hot and bothered into the world. Unless you're married, then you're just hot and not bothered. But if you are walking in purity and you are single, then you are hot and double bothered. And we don't want to do you like that because we care about you. And we also care about your walk and your purity. And we would never want to put all of this out there as any sort of a stumbling block. Like, the goal is really just to let you guys know, like, the Bible is full of scriptures about what a husband and a wife are supposed to do. It also gives us guidelines and regulations about how sex is to be treated between a husband and a wife. And we think that that's really important to know so that we don't enter into marriages feeling like sex has no place because I don't want to be a certain way and I need him to see me a certain way as this pure and wonderful lady. It's like Jesus said, lights out. I'm sorry.
So back to the single folks.
Yeah.
We know that. We, talking about us, all single folks, we're waiting. If you are out here trying to be celibate, trying to, you know, hold on to your virginity for some of you, and you're just like, I'm single, and it's hard to do this, we got some work for you too. So for you, for those of you in the wait,
first thing you got to do is put up a guard against temptation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we discuss that the marriage bed is not to be defiled according to the scripture that we read earlier. And the Bible tells us to avoid sin in general, period. But when it comes to sexual sin, the Bible says run. Not jog, mm-hmm. not walk, not drag your feet, not hoverboard. Run.
Not think about it. Not toe the line. Not play games. Run.
Yes, because like it's so much easier to fall than you would think. And oh my gosh, once you fall, it's really hard to stop falling.
Mm.
And that's why drastic action is required. The word said in 1 Corinthians 6:18, just in case you thought we made it up, run away from sexual sin.
Bam. Drop the mic.
Basically.
Then pick it back up. Because Song of Solomon 2:7 says, promise me, O women of Jerusalem, by the swift gazelle and deer of the wild, do not awaken love until the time is right.
That sounded beautiful, even though it hurt my feelings. But just to be clear, just to encourage you a little bit, having a desire to have sex is not a bad thing. That was something that was put within us, and we are to express that within the context of marriage. But feeding the desire before marriage, that's where sin comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And when we refer to sexual sin, we're not talking about the desire to have sex once you're married. We're talking about fueling those thoughts, looking at porn, masturbating, getting involved with premarital sex, phone sex, and anything of the like. And since we just mentioned premarital sex, if you're not a virgin, it is okay. you can still keep your marriage bed pure by deciding to walk in purity until you're married. So it's not like, oh, ship has sailed, I can do what I want. No.
Are you trying to play games again? Let's just say it right here. We've tried all the avenues outside of the covenant, and now we're trying to be in the covenant, and that means that you can't play around with temptation. You can't be out here trying to figure out how far is too far and all that foolishness, because the minute you think it, you're already down the road.
Exactly. And one of the things that has helped me and that I would advise anybody to do is be aggressive about how you go about maintaining your purity. Since aggressive sounds so aggressive, hit y'all with the dictionary definition so you can understand what I mean. Aggressive means ready and willing to fight and using forceful methods to succeed or to do something. For me personally, like, my philosophy is I need 3 degrees of separation between me and fallen. One is not enough, because once there is one, we are done. And I'm the kind of person that sometimes needs explicit rules to understand exactly how to walk something out, which is why I wanted to at least give some strategy. So, for example, you go out with a guy. Before you end up in the bedroom, you're on the sofa. Before you're on the sofa, you're in the car. And before the car, it's whatever date y'all were on, because hopefully y'all are classy individuals who let people take y'all out as opposed to settling for these dates at the house.
Right. No, I ain't kicking it with you. We're trying to get together. Did you take me outside?
So my thing is, 3 degrees of separation leaves me at the venue. So guess what? I'm going to pull up in my car at the spot. I'll meet you there. We'll have our little date situation, chop it up, and then we'll be going our separate ways, because I don't want to put myself in a position to stumble. It's important for me to say, like, hey, I'm really trying to walk this thing out. And for me, 3 works.
Playing no games.
And you know what? And if that person can't deal with your boundaries, then you know what? They don't even know Jesus. I'm just going to let you know that for real, like, up front. They don't know him. They lied.
Because the word says in 1 Corinthians 6:18-20, no other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. Mm. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Or don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body.
Yes. And in another scripture, in 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, God wants you to be holy, so you should keep clear of all sexual sin. Then each of you will control your body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion as the pagans do, in their ignorance of God and his ways. It really is a task and a job and a responsibility to maintain purity. And if you are not willing to do the work and take it seriously, then, I mean, I don't know, you just got to get to that place if this is the path that you're on, living for Christ. Just to be honest, I wanted to, and I think I mentioned this in episode 4, Uncomfortable. I wanted to, but I was like, the way my desire is set up, I want to in my mind, but I don't want to in my body.
Your body never wants to, by the way.
And I had to pray about it, though, because I was like, okay, this is what I need to do. I can't be half-stepping with you, Jesus. I do a lot of sinning on my own that I don't even know about. So for something as major as purity, I'm like, the least I could do is put in the effort to try to honor my body the way that God says that I'm supposed to. Because sin is inevitable, yes, but for what I can control, let me do my best to walk it out.
Exactly. And sexual sin, you can avoid like the plague. And one way to do that is to check your spiritual diet. Check what you are watching. What are you listening to? What kind of conversations are you participating in? Who are you following on social media? How do you spend your time? Because you may think that you're doing all right, but when you lay your head to bed at night and all you think in your brain is this conversation you have with so-and-so and the way he was talking about this, that, or whatever, or the way that this chick looked on Instagram, you really wanted to double tap that. Like, you just got to be aware.
Exactly. And that's one thing that that we're pretty passionate about here at Clean Ears when it comes to the music, is making sure that we're not listening to music that talks about all sorts of things that we know we're not trying to do. And that same concept does apply, like Saritha said, to all medias and conversations and interactions with people, because, you know, there's another scripture that says, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. So you might think you're good and think that you're straight, and then you end up putting yourself in a position that you don't want to be in, and you don't want to feed your thoughts. Mm-hmm. And even if you're not doing anything, why put yourself in a position to wrestle with your thoughts? That is exhausting.
We know that sometimes you feel like you are not current. You're not engaging with people about certain things that are happening in the world because you're just not following, you're not listening. And I understand you might have some fear of missing out. That FOMO is real. But when it comes to your purity, when it comes to peace within yourself, there's nothing that can be substituted for that. So you're just going to have to not know sometimes.
Yes. And I've definitely had to do that because, especially as a creative, my imagination naturally can run wild because mm-hmm. that's a part of my gifting. And I've had to cut myself off from a lot of different things. And you know what? For the things that I may need to know, I just got to Google that specifically. I like being able to, and I need to be able to choose what goes in front of me. And that's something that's helped a lot because every day when we go out into this world, there are going to be things that will tempt you that you cannot control. There's going to be somebody who is just built exactly how you like it. How did Jesus know? And they are just right in front of you in the grocery store with them shoulders. And you're just really trying to function like, I just want to buy this kettle corn and move on with my life. So there are plenty of opportunities where you will see some things that'll make you feel like, oh, hey, how you doing? Mm-hmm. So I make it a point to not put that stuff in front of me if I can help it, because my home needs to be a safe zone.
Words. We've had to give up TV shows. We had to unfollow people on social media. We can't watch certain movies. I know there are things that I can't go to, listen to, or watch because that's just going to trigger. It's going to trigger you, and you just can't do it.
That's why I haven't seen Creed. I was like, nope, nope.
Girl.
I saw that preview.
We saw the trailer, and I was like, the way I'm fantasizing about your back alone lets me know that I can't watch this movie, and I still haven't seen it. It's on DVD. I don't think I'll ever be able to. Maybe, no.
I watch Creed when I'm married.
Maybe not. I'm gonna be less than nobody.
No, I mean, you know.
He said, don't commit adultery with your eyes.
You know what? Thank you for keeping me on the straight and narrow. So no Creed for us.
Yeah, I can't do it. Sorry, Michael Bay.
And it sucks because, you know, everybody's talking about it and stuff like that. And it's like, no, I haven't seen it. And I can't watch this because this is how them running scenes make me feel. And until they just, you know, remix that, you know. Right. The way they making these films and looking in these films, then you know what? I'll be over here watching something else.
Right, exactly.
I am not that mature in my faith just yet. Mm-mm. Another thing that helps also is to educate yourself. I feel like we're in a place now, thankfully, where we have books like Megan Good and her husband have their book about the weight. And we'll go online on P4CM's YouTube mm-hmm. and watch the conversation. There's so many different resources available online that we can check out. So you don't have to know everything, have all the knowledge down for yourself, and you don't have to cling to one Bible verse to get you through. I personally feel like the more that you educate yourself about purity, the more you have a greater desire to want to see it through, because you get a greater understanding of what God is saying about it and why. Like, when I read scriptures about what God has to say about sex and marriage, I'm like, wait, I want that. Oh, wait, I'm good. Still ain't watching Creed, but I'm good.
Exactly. It's so important for us to educate ourselves, surround ourselves with like-minded people.
Yes.
We need to get into a place of where we're not afraid to be honest about the things that trigger us and then put boundaries up against that. And then also be able to talk to someone and be like, hey, yo, I'm feeling real lonely right now. Like, things could pop off at any moment. I need you to talk me through.
Exactly. Talking to people who are more seasoned in their purity helps so much, because there really are things that we can do. It helps for me to be able to talk to someone because they say, well, we know what I'm feeling this way. This is what I do. And I'm like, oh, okay, let me try that out. As opposed to just struggling, and then worse, struggling alone. Because, you know, with the way that, for some reason, I be trying to delete people's phone numbers, and next thing you know, they be coming back. I don't know how.
The devil's in the iPhone.
Girl, I thought the resurrection happened one time. But these phone numbers just be coming back to life. And I just don't be needing that in my phone and such. And so it helps me to be able to have people who can say, this is what I do. Or even if they don't have anything to offer me, they would just be like, me too, girl. And that helps to know that I'm not in it by myself, because if I'm struggling, I need to know that the world is struggling too. And that makes me feel good.
Exactly. And if you're just unsure about how to build a godly community, we talk about it in episode 2 called Crimson Cord. And you can learn how to build up your God squad. We talk about the characteristics of good people around you, the purpose of community, and the benefits of that God squad. Go ahead and check it out.
All right, that concludes the conversation that we had on purity last week. Hope it was refreshing and encouraging to you guys. And before we set you back free into the world, we just want to pray it out, seal it in. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this conversation. We thank you, Lord, that your word gives us guidelines on everything. And I pray, God, that we just continuously seek to understand what you have to say about it, and not listen to what the world has to say about purity, God. I pray that you just encourage us and keep us strong in our walks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I love that. So what you gonna do on the fourth one?